Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 11th of August, recording at 9:15 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first the highlights today. The Asian stock markets were not as strong, most of them, in response to the gains that we saw on Wall Street on Friday and the big drop in the price of crude oil. There were exceptions, though, and notably India. Also, the Japanese market was up a couple of percentage points. The Thailand index is continuing its oversold rally. India is showing, though, about the best overall performance in that region. Now, European stock markets, after a little bit of hemming and hawing, put on some pretty good gains in here today, and they were helped by the strength of Wall Street, but Wall Street lost some of those gains. It actually retraced just about all of them before rallying again in the last few minutes, so closing with modest gains, the best of which was the Nasdaq's up over 1 percentage point. And as I say, that's on top of what's a very powerful performance on Friday. Also, the banking sector was pretty good generally in both Europe and the USA. That's important. Now, more on that in a moment. Looking elsewhere, government bonds finally weakening in here today against the background of that stock market rally. The US dollar eased a little bit in earlier trading, but then picked up steam again, extended Friday's blitzing rally, and well, last week's entire rally was pretty good. So again, the dollar is still in form here, and precious metals, well, they remained under the cosh with the oil price also down, and I should have mentioned that first because crude has been a very big influence. Now, crude is off its low, but remember, it was down $5 on Friday, and then it fell sharply here again today, down at one stage, down to $112.72. It's currently trading now at $114.47. That's still down 73 cents in after hours trading. Natural gas, in contrast, which has fallen considerably more than crude, but it's a little bit firmer in here today, really quite oversold. And what else to mention? Now, that weakness that we're seeing in crude and a number of these other commodities has weighed on the commodity producing stock markets. Those include Brazil, Mexico, and Canada in here. Those had steadied a little bit last week, but Brazil certainly is hitting a new reaction low in this current decline. And other points to mention, I was starting to say that importance of crude's additional follow-through in the dollar's strength was really all too much for the precious metals sector, and gold crunched beneath that 850 previous low, and is lost trading here at 823. That's down over $33. Okay. So, and well, last but not least, grains and beans a little bit mixed, soybeans slightly higher, corn down a cent. Okay, so what's going on here generally, overall? Well, the Asian stock market response is still muted, India excepted, relative to what we're seeing in Asia, and also, I beg your pardon, relative to what we're seeing in Europe and the USA. And there's a very big reason, I think, for that. Now, it's mostly to do with China, I believe, and I don't know if I mentioned that in the in that quick review, but China fell to a new bear market low in here today. It was down, must have been at least 3%. So fairly sharp move, breaking down out of the little trading range that it had been in previously. So I've referred from time to time to the Chinese leash effect within Asia, although I think it's inevitable that over time that its influence extends beyond Asia as China becomes an ever more important economic power, with its stock market also increasing in size. I was not able to trace down what the specific factors were, if any, behind that Chinese decline. But as I say, it certainly is a drag regionally on Asian stock markets, and it's something that I think the Chinese will want to address fairly soon, especially as their inflation rate is now coming down. And they have done that in the past, and there have been little hints and whispers about it. They intend to move in a very gradualist with very gradualist policies in terms of either a support operation or in terms of tightening to check the previous overheating of the stock market that we had seen last year, and of course also the property market. But they've succeeded on both those scores, so I'll be quite surprised if we don't see, certainly following the Olympics, if not before, if we don't see more gradualist measures by the Chinese to steady that stock market. Meanwhile, in Asia, I've done it again, must be a little bit of fatigue in here. Meanwhile, in Europe and also in the USA, those bank indices really do remain generally steady, particularly in the US. Now, that's favorable. That does suggest to me quite strongly that we will see this rally, which I've described as being a rally of at least a month or two from the 15th, when it first, for 15th of July, I should say, when it first looked to be a very good possibility following that climactic selling that we saw in stock markets, and following the bursting of that oil bubble, which was really quite overextended, and the last portion of which really owed an enormous amount to an inflow of speculative funds. So I've mentioned before, oil didn't more than double from September into July on demand alone. Or supply shortages. That was just a weight of money piling into the oil market. Okay, but oil's in retreat. That's hugely important in terms of fundamental implications. And I think also that the penny is perhaps only beginning to drop. I know there are a lot of subscribers for whom English is not the first language, so I'd better elaborate on that a little bit. That when oil was initially coming off, a lot of people felt, quite rightly, well, it's still very high, and maybe it's not going to come off for very long. But as this oil price has continued to move down, the difference in perceptions between, say, oil at around 130, which is still mighty high, but oil down here at $114, anybody who's crunching the numbers economically, fundamentally, in terms of inflation pressures and so on, in terms of the drag of strong oil prices on GDP growth, is redoing the figures here. And this doesn't look quite so bad. And if we see oil below $100 a barrel, and I think we'll see that at least temporarily at some stage in the next month or two, most likely, and certainly before year end, I think that that would really cause people to become considerably less pessimistic about the overall outlook for GDP growth, despite the ongoing credit crunch, which is a very serious situation. But I've maintained all along that globally, on a global basis, the big one was the crude oil price. And so that very powerful headwind has become more of a tailwind, and I think the tailwind, my point is that the tailwind is gathering strength as that oil price comes down. And that's oil at $100, that would be a lot less of a problem, needless to say, than oil at nearly $170. Okay, what else is going on here that is important? Well, say rally on course to carry further. I haven't referred to it as more than a technical rally at this stage because, you know, we've got those downtrends that were established last year or the beginning of this year, and we know there's overhead supply on the charts. So the rally would have to go a whole lot further to break all those downtrends and to look very significant on the charts. But they have to start somehow, and I think that my position here is that this is at least a reasonable technical rally, and that's what I've been saying every day since the 15th of July, and I've got no reason to change that view. The drop in crude and the continued firmness of the banking sectors and provide the sort of leadership that I want to see. What did VIX do out of interest in here today? I'll just put that up on Bloomberg. Is that back below 20? Well, it's hovering tantalizingly close to this. It's at 20.12 level and trending lower. If we get VIX reestablishing itself below 20, then that will, I think, also improve sentiment in stock markets. And while there are lots of legitimate concerns over GDP growth, which I think will continue to slow, and I think that people are too optimistic in thinking that China's growth will hover around the 9% level, I think it will come lower than that, but it'll still be a world-beating growth rate on a relative basis. But there is also a great deal of cash on the sidelines, and that is fuel for stock market recoveries. Okay, what about gold? Well, I've mentioned that the risks are increasing following that breakdown in platinum that we saw last month. And silver, I mentioned on Friday or earlier that silver had taken out its reaction low that it saw a few months ago. Well, gold has done that today. Now, my own feeling on this is that this is an extended medium-term correction. I remain very bullish of gold over the longer term, but I don't know where the reaction low is going to be for this particular move. So in terms of any kind of futures positions, I'm content to sit on the sidelines and watch and wait. Now, on the upside, if I'm too cautious and this was a last sort of flush out in here today and gold's going to strengthen, then it'll have to rebound back above that 850 level in fairly impressive fashion. But there's a risk here, a real risk, that gold and all these precious metals do come a bit lower here in the short term. Remember, one of the factors that I did mention about this big shakeout that we were seeing in stock markets, I mentioned this on a number of occasions last year, and the weakness of the banks, the credit, the whole credit crisis, and so on, and that had slowed and lengthened the cycle. Well, I didn't know how much. I didn't fully appreciate how much it slowed the cycle, certainly slowed that GDP growth, putting a number of economies in recession, in both Europe and also the USA, although it's not yet technically in recession, thanks to just the export sector. But go back to that point about slowing and lengthening the cycle. And the argument that people were advocating not all that long ago, particularly perennial gold bulls, that it was about to take off again on run on the upside in a shortened cycle. Well, that's very difficult for gold to do against this background of the slowing cycle, because the slowing cycle also means slowing inflationary pressures at some point. It also is difficult for it to do against the background of global deleveraging, and also difficult for it to do it against background of a downward pull, a headwind, in other words, from crude oil and also the US dollar. Now, looking further ahead, though, I would expect to see renewed demand for gold emerging at some stage over the intermediate term, the medium term, not likely so much likely in the short term. And I think the drivers will really be different. I think that Asia will be the big key factor in here. And I think rising wealth in the Asian region will be one of the big long-term drivers in the next upward leg in gold bullion. But in the meantime, I think this is still under pressure, as are many commodities. Really is speculative money moves out of that sector. And that's pretty much it for today. Owen is back tomorrow, I'm glad to say. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.